Yesterday, Sharaji was giving talk on Nikama Sukha. Nikama means to leave behind the field of sensual objects where there are abundant desirable objects. So, coming into meditation center where it is free from sense objects such as seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and so on, it is nikkhamma. So one has done nikkhamma, the first stage, by coming into retreat, but it is not enough to be in the center in order to be free from these sensual objects and sensual pleasure. So one should be free from kamma chanda nivrana, sensual desire, and it is more important to be free from kamma chanda, sensual desire, and to develop series of wholesome mind. So by being free from kamma chanda, sensual desire, and by developing wholesome mind, one will be able to be free from two kinds of karma. So coming to retreat at this meditation center, one is said to be putting two kinds of mental strength in his or her mind. So yesterday, Sharaji explained about two kinds of strength or power. The first one is Patisankhana Bala, power of prudence. And second one is Bhavana Bala, power that is gained through mental development practice. So having Bhavana Bala, having power through mental development practice, one can repel defilements such as lobha dosa, such as greed and hatred, and also one gains spiritual stamina, able to withstand good and bad worldly conditions. So today, Sharaji will explain on both theoretical and practical aspects. If there is lack of control, if one lacks mindfulness to control oneself, then the mind will be going free, thinking whatever one wishes, imagining whatever one wishes. Especially as worldly beings, mostly the mind go onto sensual objects. So wanting to see good things, wanting to hear good sounds, wanting to taste good flavor, and so on, most worldly people are thinking about sensual objects. So there are two kinds of karma. The first one is kilesa karma, subjective sensuality, and vattu karma, objective sensuality. So vattu karma are sensual objects, where kilesa karma is the greed or the lust on these sensual objects. And people, they want better and better things. They are burning with greed. And at times when they come across undesirable objects, there can be hatred, anger. not knowing the truth, not knowing the flaws of it, taking things as good, there is delusion. So these fires of raga, dosa, moha, these fires of lust, hatred, and delusion are burning all the time. So one should escape from such fires of kilesa, defilements. So one should, when one encounters kilesa, inciting objects, then one should prevent kilesa defilements from burning. And it is important whether one learns the correct way to prevent kilesa fire, and it is important whether one learns how to put out the kilesa fire as soon as it breaks out. So the internal fire that arises in oneself should be put out by the person himself, herself. So the person should be good fire men, good fire women, who are very skilled to put out the internal fire. So if the person has to go back to the place where it is burning with defilements, one should have good fire mask, good fire proof, so that one will be relieved from these fire. So if one has to inhale air full of fumes and full of fumes, then it will be very unhealthy. And if one cannot put out the fire himself, herself, he, she should escape through the exit and also contact the fire department. So in the same way, in each and every one, there are kilesa defilements, burning and scorching. So in the worldly field, there are a lot of social affairs. So one should escape from these fields where there are a lot of fire caused by defilements. So one should know the correct method how to prevent these kilesa fire from arising. And if these kilesa fire takes place, one should put out these kilesa fire immediately. So coming to a meditation center, yogis are learning method how to prevent kilesa fire and also how to put out the kilesa fire when the fire breaks out. So when yogis are learning the method how to prevent and how to put out the kilesa fire, one is also said to be strengthening the mental strength so that they will develop knowledge and also they will develop bhavana bala, power through mental development practice. To be a skilled firefighter, the person should know how troubling fire can be. And when handling with fire, one should really be careful, knowing that fire can also give trouble. So in the same way, one should have faith and confidence on the method how to prevent internal fire. And one should know that these internal fire are very bad and very tormenting. So one should have faith and confidence on the method how to prevent internal fire, how to put out, how to extinguish internal fire, just as one needs to prevent and extinguish ordinary kind of fire. So in order to practice the method to prevent and to extinguish internal fire, one needs faith and confidence, sadha, on the practice. One also needs strong will to prevent internal fire, as well as to extinguish this internal fire when they break out. Having strong will to prevent and extinguish internal fire, one will have the courage to prevent this internal fire. One would be very careful and cautious with these internal fires. When learning how to prevent and how to extinguish the internal fire, one should be very attentive in learning, and one should put it into practice. One should cultivate mental strength so that one will be developing knowledge, and one's knowledge will become matured, and thus one will become very skillful, successful firefighters of internal fire. So when the person becomes very skilled, he, she will not be afraid anymore. Any kind of fire, the person can easily extinguish it right away. So one needs knowledge that these internal fire are very bad and tormenting, and one should also have the knowledge how to prevent and how to extinguish these internal fires. So when they have this kind of knowledge, they have the power or the strength to repel the internal fire, and thus they will be relieved from the heat of fire. So practicing bhavana, practicing mental development practice, is to gain power and strength in order to prevent this internal fire, as well as to extinguish this internal fire immediately as soon as they break out. Just as one needs to be a skillful firefighter, matured firefighter, in the same way, the person should be skillful firefighter of internal fire, experienced firefighter of internal fire. So one needs to start learning the method how to prevent and how to extinguish the internal fire. One should practice these methods so that one's experience will become from small to big, from tender to ripe, from less to much. So making one's practice from small to big, from tender to ripe, is called bhavana, and one is said to be strengthening, one is said to be putting necessary strength and power in the mind. It is called bhavana. Yesterday, Saraji explained the definition, adikusala bhavetiti bhavana. When one develops, increase, and cultivate the mind that excels, when one develops, cultivate, increases the wholesome merit that excels so many times than the ordinary dana and sila, is called bhavana. So a weak mind cannot repel the opposite enemy because it does not have any resistance. So if one does not have faith and confidence on things that one should have faith and confidence, then there will be uncertainty, there will be doubt, the mind will be very weak. Not having faith and confidence on things that are worthy of faith and confidence, the person cannot decide whether or not it is true. There will be uncertainty, doubt, one will be skeptical. So it shows that the mind is very weak and the mind is very rotten. So if one accepts things that are not right, not only that the mind is weak, but it also shows that the mind does not have any resistance. So faith and confidence guards and protects so that one does not believe in wrong things. Lacking faith and confidence, one believes in wrong things. The mind is weak and tender. There will be wrong belief, so the mind is weak and rotten. And it doesn't have any strength. It does not have any courage to refrain from things that should be refrained from. The mind flinches back, withdraws from refraining from things that should be refrained from. And not having courage to perform things that should be performed, one draws away to perform things that should be performed. So the person lacks courage to perform things that should be performed and to refrain from things that should be refrained. Failing to refrain, one meets harm and danger. Failing to perform things that should be performed, one does not gain benefit. The person is overwhelmed by laziness. And if the person indulges in laziness, the person will not have any strength in the mind. The person loses ability, strength, and power of the mind. Lacking sati, mindfulness, then lacking sati, mindfulness, all the inferior states come in by leaps and bounds. Having sati, mindfulness present, this mindfulness protects the mind so that inferior states cannot enter into the mind. With sati, mindfulness present, one does not commit misconduct by body, speech, and mind. So if there is lack of sati, if there is lack of mindfulness, inferior states and defilements enter into the mind by leaps and bounds. So lacking sati, there will not be any protection. The mind is left unprotected, unguarded. The mind is weak. Having sati present, the mind will be protected from these inferior states. So if there is not sustained mindfulness, the mind will be agitated by defilements such as raga, dosa. The mind will be agitated by lust, hatred, and so on. So the mind will be pulled away by the gravity of these defilements. It shows that the mind is very weak. Having a weak mind, one cannot repel these inferior states. Not having knowledge, one has wrong views. It shows that the mind is not matured and the person believes in wrong things. So, people have wrong belief that it is the Creator who is creating happiness for beings. So, depending and relying on this Creator to create happiness for them, people lose ability. People lose their own ability. And they are lacking knowledge. So, if they are not getting what they want, they get agitated, depressed, dissatisfied. If they get what they want, they become elated. So they are not matured. Not having knowledge, the mind is not matured. When they meet worldly conditions as happiness and suffering, when they meet worldly conditions such as happiness and suffering, success and loss, blame and fame, blame and praise, they become either elated or depressed because they lack spiritual stamina. So it is very important to keep the mind balanced, to keep the mind in the state of equilibrium whatever one meets with, whether good or bad worldly condition, one's mind should be in the state of equilibrium. So Satipatthana meditation can guarantee that one can gain maturity, one can keep the mind balanced and also in the state of equilibrium. So the kind of situation that the unmindful beings can meet cannot be known by everyone. So Buddha had gave guarantee. Buddha had gave guarantee in a very bold way that Satipatthana meditation can surely solve social problems. So in order to solve these problems, Satipatthana meditation is a sure way. Beings are polluted. They are polluted by raga, lust, their body, speech, and mind polluted, impure. And having dosa, anger, hatred, their body, speech, and mind are polluted, impure. Having moha, delusion, beings, body, speech, and mind are impure and polluted. So having raga, dosa, moha, lust, hatred, and delusion, these beings are impure and polluted. So in order to purify, there is one and only way, which is one and only sure way, which is four kinds of satipatthana, four foundations of mindfulness. So beings meet problems such as loss of family members, relatives, losing their business, losing jobs, and so on. So when they encounter such losses, they have grief and sorrow. So the only one and sure way to overcome such grief and sorrow is Satipatthana practice. So Satipatthana practice is also one and only sure way in order to overcome sorrow, grief, lamentation, and also the physical pain could be overcome by one and only sure way, Satipatthana meditation. Mental distress can also be overcome by one and only sure way, Satipatthana practice. Most important of all, in order to weaken, uproot the kilesa defilements which has been following throughout the samsara, which are causing suffering in beings, these kilesa defilements could be weakened, cured, and totally be uprooted by one and only sure way, Satipatthana practice. So, in order to gain the genuine peace, the genuine happiness, one should practice one and only sure way, Satipatthana practice. So, Satipatthana practice can bring seven benefits. So, Buddha guaranteed that Satipatthana practice can bring seven benefits. So, if one puts into practice, one will know these benefits from his or her own experience. So, in order to purify one's body, speech, and mind, Satipatthana meditation is one and only sure way. Having faith and confidence that Satipatthana meditation can bring benefits such as purification of the mind, one develops saddha, faith and confidence. One also develops patisankhana bala, power of prudence. Having faith and confidence, one also cultivates strong will in order to practice to get these benefits. Practicing with strong will and strong will to get these benefits, one develops sati, mindfulness, samadhi, concentration, and also panya, wisdom. Especially when the person has developed moral shame and moral fear from doing unwholesome deeds, then the person's mind becomes extraordinarily free from pollutants and defilements, and thus his or her mind will be pure and clean. So practicing Satipatthana meditation is to gain spiritual stamina, spiritual resistance, so that one will have the strength or the power to repel from such impurities and defilements. So, apart from Buddha, in the past, there were no genius, no scientist, no politician, or no medicinal doctors could guarantee in a bold way that this Satipatthana meditation is one and only sure way to bring benefits, seven kind of benefits, such as purification of the mind. Only Buddha could give such guarantee. So, if one has faith and confidence on the Satipatthana practice, that such Satipatthana practice can bring benefits such as purification of the mind, if one has faith and confidence that this Satipatthana practice is one and only sure way, then the person practices diligently in order to gain these benefits. So yogis who are here, you have already got faith and confidence on the Satipatthana practice, knowing the benefits through your experience to a certain extent. That's why you have already developed and awakened saddha. So the saddha, faith and confidence that has been awakened through one's own experience of practice, This awakened sadha should be cultivated by practice. So in order to cultivate awakened sadha, in order to nurture the awakened sadha, one needs to be mindful of whatever objects that are prominent in oneself. One should keep sustained mindfulness on whatever object that arises so that one's mind will be pure and clean. So one should exert effort in order to be able to note objects such as rising and falling of the abdomen. Having faith and confidence on the practice, the person will have strong will to get the seven benefits of Satipatthana practice. Having strong will, the person will exert effort in the practice. When noting rising and falling of the abdomen, yogi should put effort in order to note rising and falling of the abdomen. Yogi should also have a strong will in order to get genuine kind of happiness that has a guarantee. Yogi should be willing to give up the kind of happiness that has no guarantee. So, if the yogi has strong will in order to get these seven benefits of practice, yogi will be courageous, yogi will forbear the suffering, yogi will forbear the inconvenience, whatever he, she has, yogi will forbear loss of sleep, yogi can make do with whatever food and lodging that is available for them. And also, yogi will not look even though he, she wants to look. Yogi will not listen even though he, she wants to listen. In this way, yogi should cultivate effort in the practice, not looking, not hearing on other things, but paying attention only to their practice. In order to be able to note the presently arising object, yogi should put effort so that the noting mind will reach the object of meditation. When the yogi can put effort in the practice, the mind will be firmly established on the object of meditation, and thus sati, power of mindfulness, will be developed. So when there is sustained mindfulness, the mind will be calm and collected on the object. It is what is called avekepo samadhi. Samadhi has the characteristic of non-distraction. So the mind will be calm, stable, collected on the object. The mind will not be shaken with greed. The mind will not be shaken or agitated with hatred or anger, but the mind will be calm and collected on the object, and thus samadhi, concentration, also develops. By noting thus, yogi is developing viriya, sati, samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration. So the yogi is developing the strength of viriya, sati, and samadhi. And also, yogi should have moral shame and moral fear from missing or failing to note the object of meditation. So, in this way, yogi is initiating mental powers such as viriya, sati, samadhi. effort, mindfulness, and concentration. And also one should cultivate, nurture, and increase the initiated mental states, viriya, sati, samadhi, and it is called bhavana. Initiating, developing, cultivating, increasing mental states of viriya, sati, samadhi, and it is called bhavana. So one should put effort in the practice. The mind will be calm and collected. And when the practice gains momentum, then his or her faith and confidence also will be awakened. His or her awakened sadha should also be cultivated by further practice, by working diligently in the practice. So when the mind is calm and collected on the object, yogi comes to know distinctly between mind and matter. So when the yogi understands distinctly between mind and matter through his or her experience, the person develops more faith and confidence that this practice is really correct. Before the practice, the person has heard of nama and rupa from books or from others, but through the practice, he, she comes through his or her experience, come to understand distinctly between mind and matter. And also, yogi comes to understand cause and effect, impermanence. In this way, yogi even develops more faith and confidence on the practice. Understanding through his or her personal experience, the person develops more knowledge. When the noting mind is face to face or direct with the object, yogi comes to know the true nature, and thus yogi comes to confirm and accept that this practice is really correct. So in this way, yogi initiates, develops, cultivates, increases the mental states of viriya, sati, and samadhi, so that these mental states will become from small to big, from tender to ripe, from less to many. Especially, yogis need moral shame and moral fear from failing or missing to note the presently arising object. Yogis should have moral shame and moral fear from lacking mindfulness in the practice. Yogis should have moral shame and moral fear that kilesa defilements can enter the mind if there is lack of mindfulness. Yogis should have moral shame and moral fear from losing practice. The more strong moral shame and moral fear is, the more effectively the yogi can diligently practice so as to fill up the mental strength in the mind in a very short time. So it was just an example. Saraji will explain further from both theoretical and practical aspects. In next day, Saraji will explain how one needs to apply jhanic factor in the practice, and Saraji will also explain two kinds of jhana. Saraji will continue.
Sadhu, sadhu.